results.
Conference record has joined the conference.
On 30th April, so the fourth quarter is from 1st February to 30th April. DMFI's financial statements have been converted to IFRS for consolidation purposes. BMPL's stake in DMFI is 89.4%, and the non-controlling interest line in the P&L. One point to note is that DMPL did change its measurement of the cost of inventory from weighted average to FIFO method, and this new accounting policy was applied retrospectively. This also makes it in line with our seasonal nature of the business. So it helps us even from a management measurement perspective. On the next slide, I would like to share with you the fourth quarter summary. Sales at $520 million is down by 3%. That's mainly driven by U.S., which declined by 7%. Philippines is up 6% in dollar terms, in local currency at 12%. Our S&W branded business has grown by 8%, whereas our OEM exports with the supply of pineapple back to normal in the second half grew at 25% in the fourth quarter. Our joint venture in India, Feel Fresh, also grew double digit in the fourth quarter at 13%. When it comes to the profitability KPIs, our EBITDA at $63.1 million was up 56% from $40.5 million in the prior year. Operating profit at $43.1 million was up 67%. Net profit of $10.9 million is also a turnaround versus $0.8 million of loss in the prior year. On a full-year basis, our sales at $2.3 billion is up 4%. That has been contributed by U.S., which grew at 4%, Philippines, which grew at 6% in U.S. dollar terms, in peso terms at 11%. S&W brand grew at a double-digit 10%. OEM exports was down or declined 9%, mainly driven by the supply constraints that we had in the pineapple area, which we did talk to you about, clearly attributed to El Nino. So that's where it declined 9%. Feel Fresh, our joint venture, grew at 16%. When it comes to our profitability KPIs, without one-off items, our EBITDA of US dollar 202.1 was up 38% from 146.1 million. Our operating profit at $128.6 million was up 36%. Net profit of US dollar 19.8 million is a turnaround from a loss of 6.7 last year. Would also like to announce that board has declared a final dividend of 1.33 US dollar cents per share, which represents a 50% dividend of net profit. Moving on to the non-recurring items, it's important for you to understand the one-off items or non-recurring gains that we have seen in the fourth quarter as well as in FY16. So would like to just table that just in line with what we shared with you in the third quarter. The first one is related to the closure of North Carolina plant, which came along with the Sager Creek acquisition, the impact of which is $16.3 million, both on fourth quarter and on FY16. We incurred another $2 million on stabilizing SAP, and this does constitute both expenses incurred on implementation as well as operational areas related to that we faced due to moving the system from the legacy system, which we had in Big Hearts, to SAP. So overall impact is $13 million. Sega Creek integration has cost us another 6.9 for full year and 2.9 for the fourth quarter. We also incurred a severance cost of $6.6 million as we continue to optimize our G&A footprint as well as simplify our Sega Creek operations and close down the plants. We did incur litigation expenses, which is related to working capital adjustment, which I'll talk to you about in a minute. That's at 1.3. The two big one-off or non-recurring gains that we had relate to revaluation of retirement plan, which we had talked about and booked in the second quarter. That amounted to $39.4 million. And working capital adjustment, which is a new item that our U.S. business successfully resolved with Big Hearts, and which resulted in a benefit of $38 million. So on a pre-tax basis, the net impact is 33.1 for the full year and 15.1 for the fourth quarter. Net gain for the full year, that those are the numbers that you will reflect, are reflected in our financials. Moving on to our fourth quarter results. Fourth quarter sales at $520 million is 2.8% lower than last year, mainly due to lower sales in the U.S., which has been partly offset by strong sales performance in Philippines and S&W Asia. When it comes to gross profit, it's higher than last year, mainly driven by improvement in pricing for export business, including Pine June concentrate, and productivity gains both in the cannery and the plantation that we saw in the second half. Our operating profit at US$58.2 million is higher versus last year, including the $15.1 million one-off net gain. But even without that, our operating profit would have been 67% better due to strong operating results across Asia. Loss from Field Fresh, which is our JV in India, in which we own 47%, is lower than last year, mainly from strong performance of processed food segment. Our net income has shown an improvement, and as has been explained in our operating performance. Our recurring net income would be $10.8 million if we take out the net impact of one-off gains that we tabled in the previous page. Our net debt is higher, and that's mainly due to $75 million that we paid for Sega Creek acquisition plus higher working capital. Gearing ratio is lower by 26.5% despite a higher net debt, and that's resulting from equity base increase, which is resulting from higher profit. Moving on to the fourth quarter turnover analysis, Americas constitutes around 76% of our total group sales, declined at 6.9%, mainly due to unsuccessful government bids and the OEM co-pack contract bids. And this is amidst category contraction in retail, particularly for core fruit and vegetables. My colleagues will talk more about it and give you more clear perspective in the coming slides. Asia-Pac region at $114 million grew at 12%. Philippines market, which constitutes almost 60% of our total Asia-Pac sales, grew at 12% in peso terms and 6% in U.S. dollar terms, driven by higher sales of fruits and food service channel in the Philippines. Sales of S&W brand, as had explained in the summary, grew at 8%, and as a result of the strong performance of the package segment. Korea and Japan markets grew significantly on improved sales of canned beans and tropical fruits. When it comes to Europe, on a very small base of $11 million last year, we grew at 17%, which mainly came from price increase that we affected on fine juice concentrate. Let me now share with you year-to-date month 12 reported performance. Year-to-date month 12 sales are higher by 4% and mainly led by BMFI, our U.S. business, Philippines, and S&W. If we exclude the impact of Sega Creek and Venezuela consolidation, the business declined at 6% overall. Gross profit is higher versus last year by 18%. Even if we exclude the one-off inventory step-up cost of $44.3 million from prior year, our recurring GP would still be up 7% due to better sales, improved pricing in Asia-Pac and EMEA, and cost optimization. Operating profit of $161.7 million includes US dollar $33.1 million of one-off net gain that was tabled previously. Even without that, our recurring operating profit would be $129 million US dollars in FY16 versus $95 million in FY15, representing a 36% increase versus last year. Loss from Feel Fresh, just as I enumerated for Q4, continues to go down, and that's mainly reflecting strong performance of processed food segment. Net income very much reflects improved operating results coupled with one-off benefits that we previously laid out. Net debt is higher, again, because of higher working capital resulting from softer sales in the U.S., particularly in the second half. Our gearing ratio, as tabled in our Q4 financial performance, is lower by 26.5%. Now, moving on to the turnover analysis for the full year, Americas represents 78%, grew at 3% due to higher DMFI sales, including the consolidation of recently acquired Sega Creek. Without Sega Creek, sales did decline at 4%. Our packaged vegetable business, which constitutes around 46% of our FY67 sales, grew at 1% overall in FY16. So just to emphasize, our retail business in our core categories continues to be strong for the U.S. operations. Asia-Pac region at $464 million grew at 7%, with Philippines market, which constitutes about 70% of total Asia-Pac sales, growing at 11% in peso terms and 6% in U.S. dollar terms, driven primarily by higher sales of food service and food products in the Philippines. Sales of S&W brand grew at a strong 10%. Strong performance in Philippines and S&W brand were offset by weak exports of packaged pineapple products due to reduced pineapple supply as a result of the El Nino weather pattern, which we have clearly kept you up to date with in the previous quarter. Europe region at $33.8 million was in line with last year, despite being impacted by lower supply of packaged pineapple and pineapple juice concentrate. Pricing did help us offset the supply constraints that we saw. Now, may I request Niels to give you a more comprehensive update on the U.S. business.
Thanks, Parag. This is Niels Bommer representing Del Monte Foods. I'd like to take a few minutes and share with you my perspective on the business over the past year. You know, the team continued to focus on improving the health of our core business. The efforts are reflected in our market shares. Market shares have been up in our core categories for the past 2 years. Currently, we hold 26 share of the packaged vegetable business, which is the number one branded share, 36% of the market share of the packaged fruit business, which is also number one, and number two in cut tomatoes. Now, the categories are declining slowly. However, we believe still have great potential between innovation and differentiating our products and product attributes versus our competition. We continue to grow and will continue to grow share. We have put new packaging out 2 years ago. We continue to add full top ends to our products to make it more convenient for our consumers. We are now labeling our products as a non-GMO. The process of converting to BPA free to address consumer wants and perception. You'll see the market share increases for vegetables and fruit. And you will see that in the U.S. there is a trend toward fresh, natural, organic. I believe that's an area we can take advantage of. For example, we produced and sold 1 million cases of organic tomatoes this year and continue to look to expand our organic business and ultimately leverage our greatest asset, which is the Del Monte brand. The Del Monte brand has been well recognized for over 100 years here in the U.S., is has almost 100% awareness among consumers, viewed as very high quality, and we need to continue to innovate off that very strong brand awareness in Del Monte. Ultimately, the goal is to drive growth. We're going to do that by continuing to grow share and strengthen our core business, but we also need to supplement that by expanding into adjacent categories. For the past 20 years, we've been selling 4-ounce fruit cups, which are typically put in lunch boxes and are targeted at children. We're in the process right now of introducing our first adult-oriented fruit cup, and this will actually form the platform for a much larger adult snacking platform that we expect to expand over the next several years. If you look at the actual numbers, our sales were down 6.5% to $396 million in Q4, but we're 4% higher for the full year, and we ended the year at $1.8 billion. The key driver in Q4 was an unsuccessful USDA bid, where we had expected to receive a much larger share of the bid. However, that volume went to one of our competitors. Higher gross margin for the full year at 18.1% from 15.9%. That's due to more efficient trade spend, plus the absence of purchase accounting inventory step-up of $44.3 million. With Sager Creek, when we purchased the business, they had three plants. The week we purchased the business, we closed a plant in Wisconsin. In Q4 of this year, we closed a plant in North Carolina. We now have one of three plants, which we plan on investing in doubling capacity to improve our business and better leverage our fixed assets. At the same time, one of our key focuses is to continue to drive costs down and ensure that we've got an optimal organization. We've recently moved to a channel-focused organization, which will help us to grow. And the big advantage of being channel-based as opposed to product-based is it allows us to go into a channel and cross-sell all of Del Monte's products in that channel, as opposed to going into a channel with just one of Del Monte's products. So we expect that cross-selling to be a big advantage of the channel go-to-market platform. We continue to, as I said, look at restructuring and optimizing our organization as best as possible. In the fourth quarter, our EBITDA was $59.1 million, and that included a one-time net gain of $15.1 million. For the full year, EBITDA was $155.5 million, and that was inclusive of a one-time net gain of $33.1 million. One of the keys to success of a consumer product like the Del Monte brand is to continue to keep brands fresh in front of consumers. We continue to do TV advertising, but as time goes on and our consumers get much more online, we've shifted more and more toward advertising in a digital environment, and we will continue to do that. There are some examples of some of the stuff we've done, but I am certain as we move forward, we'll continue to look more at e-commerce, digital for advertising, but I always expect we'll have some base in TV as well, some of that will shift to some new age advertising, let's call it. I'd like to turn it over to Cito.
Oh, thank you, Neil. This is Cito Alejandro of the MPL. Let me talk about the Philippines. As you look at the chart and the market shares, these essentially reflect the continued solid fundamentals of the Philippine business. And we look to continued growth in the coming years, specifically this fiscal year. The emerging channel right now in the Philippines is really the modern trade and the convenience stores. And we foresee this to be generating 55% up to 60% of the total sales. The competitive environment is now shifting more towards our Southeast Asian peer companies, and a lot of them are targeting to enter the Philippines, you know, and diversify. You know. On our part, we have also engaged on e-commerce and digital marketing since last year, and this will be one of the foundations of our future growth. So, looking forward, we will continue to build new categories, channels, and markets to ensure future competitiveness and growth in the Philippine market. Next page pretty much talks more about what happened in the Philippines. No? Fourth quarter, sales were up 12% in peso terms, 6% in dollar terms, and on fiscal year basis, a strong 11% and plus 6%, respectively. All the key categories, packaged food, beverage, and culinary, were up in volume and market share. We have expanded our user base and our household penetration, and the market continues to benefit from the resurgence of the multi-serve beverage segment behind the trade expansion and digital-based awareness-building initiatives for our 1-liter Tetra Juice drink line. And we continue to have strong food service and institutional channel sales. As you can see, these are the accounts that we cater to: Jollibee, McDonald's, 7-Eleven, Greenwich, and Shakey's. Below is one of our ads, featured ads for the summer, and these two are additions to our current successful line of Del Monte juices now offered in the Tetra Pak format. There's turning to page 18, this pretty much talks about all the efforts that we're doing in the food service channel. As you can see, we in most of the channels we offer the Del Monte branded Del Monte pineapple juice in cups, and I want to let you know that in the past year we sold 120 million cups in the Philippines alone, combined across all the channels where we serve juices in dispenser machines. Turning now to S&W. The consumers are moving towards less processed and more natural food, and we really benefited from this with the expansion of S&W Sweet 16 Fresh Pineapple in North Asia and in the Middle East. E-commerce and digital are growing, with North Asia having the largest share of e-commerce. S&W is now exploring this route to our consumers. We are presently in JD.com, and we are finalizing talks with Alibaba. In the past year, there has been a short supply of packaged pineapple. But nevertheless, we have been able to benefit from higher pricing because the supply in Thailand also fell short and will continue to fall short even in the next at least 12 months now. So we're going to grow S&W to its full potential behind fresh pineapple and other products. And as we continue to build the S&W brand equity in our key markets. The next page talks more about our efforts in Asia and the Middle East. As you can see, we have participated in a lot of food and hotel trade fairs, and we continue to be very visible, not only in the stores, but equally important in front of the consumers. Next page talks about more of S&W in the Middle East, featuring our 240 ml canned pineapple juice in Israel. We continue to push this and have expanded our range from pineapple juice to now include piña colada, apple juice, and other exciting flavors coming up within the fiscal year. Finally, Field Fresh India. We have been in this market for eight years now, and DMPL share loss of the Field Fresh joint venture was down in the prior year, and even on a fiscal year basis, Field Fresh fourth quarter sales were up 13%, while fiscal year was plus 16%. And we have improved our performance, both volume and share-wise, in our beverage and culinary segment, and have sustained very positive EBITDA trend for the quarter and also for the fiscal year. And we plan to sustain this in the coming years. The next page talks about our latest introduction in India, the mayonnaise glass bottle range. We have relaunched this, as you can see. It features different types of formats as well as flavors. And we believe that this will form one of our foundations for growth in the coming years. Parag, I'll turn it over back to you for the remainder of the presentation.
Thank you, Sita. So just the key highlights on sustainability. First of all, on climate change, we have implemented measures to reduce the impact of El Nino during the dry months. In the U.S., we have converted ingredients and packaging to meet consumer preferences around non-BP and non-GMO. We have also developed high-yield, high-recovery varieties that reduce water, pesticides, and energy usage in the U.S. In Philippines, Del Monte Foundation is supporting 375 scholars for school year 2015 and 16. And in coordination with our local partners, we have planted quite a number of trees in various municipalities in Philippines. Moving on to the debt outlook, as we have continued to give you an update on the planned issuance of preference shares, very pleased to share with you where we stand on the issuance of preference shares. As you can comprehend, this has been, we have been the pioneers in Philippines to issue a U.S. dollar perpetual preference shares. And as the status stands, we have received pre-effective approval from the Philippines SEC, and we are awaiting the approval of its listing application and the offering from PSE and the central bank, which is BSP, respectively. We expect to get these approvals in July or August this year, and expect to raise up to $360 million with an initial tranche of up to $250 million and the balance within 3 years. This will further improve our leverage ratios and, from a total group perspective, reduce our debt to equity from 5:1 to 2:1. On the profit outlook for full year for FY 2017, barring unforeseen circumstances, the group will continue to be profitable in FY 2017. In the short to midterm, the DMPL plans to improve its financial performance by strengthening its core businesses, leveraging procurement synergies, and optimizing G&A costs. The closure of Sager Creek, North Carolina plant was part of the streamlining effort. In addition, the group will shift to a leaner organization in the U.S. to drive channel growth and bring down costs in line with competition. We are also exploring e-commerce channel as an opportunity for us to really extend our range of products across the markets in Asia and the U.S.
With that, we'd like to open the floor for questions. Please state your name and institution. Question, please.
Hi, this is Brian Wee from Credit Suisse. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi. Could you just talk a bit about the run rate for SAP stabilization over the next coming year? And also, can you elaborate a bit more on what this working capital adjustment was about?
The run rate for the SAP will be embedded in our operating expenses. So we will not have any add-backs or unusual charges for SAP. We're now fine-tuning it and enhancing it as opposed to implementing it. We implemented, obviously, Sager Creek onto SAP in, I think it was February of this year. The working capital adjustment question, Paul?
The working capital adjustment goes back to the original purchase of the company by DMPL. At that point in time, the working capital requested by Dighart Petbrand, now Smucker's, was substantially higher than what we had estimated. We challenged the working capital numbers that they presented, and in April this year, we succeeded and negotiated a $38 million return of the initial working capital we put into the business.
Just to further elaborate, we will continue to optimize the use of SAP, and any spend on that is included in our ongoing business-as-usual capital spend plans.
Right. Two more quick questions. On the dividend side, the payout seems to be pretty high this year. So how should we read that going into future years' dividends? And secondly, in terms of the OEM, the co-pack business, I understand we did lose some bids this year, but what's the thinking going forward as to how to approach the business?
I'll take the first one on dividend. As I mentioned in the profit outlook, we continue to make progress, and we expect it. We expect to be generating net profits in FY17 as well. So that should address your question on dividends as we go into next year.
Relative to COPAC, that refers to the U.S. business. It's a very small portion of what we do. In some cases, we pack products for other can manufacturers. But as I said, it's relatively small, and we look at that on an opportunistic basis, not core to our business. And that was down, but not necessarily. Do we expect that to stay at these levels? It will fluctuate as we go forward.
On the dividend policy, the board's policy is to declare a minimum of 33% of the prior year net profit. So that continues to be the policy of the board until the board deems it necessary to review it going forward.
Right. First, if I just elaborate a bit more on the angle I'm coming from for the dividend, this year net profit is nice to be back in the black. But if I'm projecting it right, in 2017, 2018, you should see a big jump in earnings, and at which point the dividend would actually accelerate a lot. So I was just wondering of how the thinking there, whether or not we should be paying this out or we should be actually saving it and using it to pay down net debt.
I think paying it out at this time is the right thing to do and has been approved by the board accordingly.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Andy from DBS. Can I ask a question? Yeah, hi. I'm actually asking on the U.S. margin side. We noticed that, you know, like our news mentioned earlier, U.S. margin actually improved to about 18%. I think an improvement of 220 basis points. So, and part of this is actually because of the step up. So let's say if we exclude the step up, could you remind us or no, or what would be the margins increase be if we exclude the inventory step up?
Our margin would have been flat without the step up run here.
Right. Okay. Okay. So looking ahead, would you be confident to increase these margins in terms of like what you mentioned in terms of the trade optimization? And if you could help us in terms of what would be the optimal margins that you'd be looking at in 2017 and in the longer term?
We'll continue to focus on margin. I think in 17 we're going to see a significant focus on operating income margin. We're taking steps this year to optimize our overhead. We're optimizing our sales organization, and we're actually, we've got a third party coming in to take a look at our manufacturing and distribution footprint. We've not changed that footprint in the last 10 years, even though some of our volume has gone down, as well as when we split from Big Heart or the original Del Monte Corporation. We were part of a $4 billion corporation and had a distribution network that kind of fit into that. So we believe there are significant opportunities in 17 to affect our operating income margin more than our gross margin. However, we will continue to focus on gross margin also.
Just to add to Dave's point, there are two headwinds which we do see in FY17. One is conversion to non-BPO. That I just mentioned about, that's one which we need to take care of. And the second one is, as we had seen some softness in sales pretty much due to not getting the government bids and the OEM business that Niels talked about, we will be also focusing a lot on making sure that we adjust our inventory going into FY17. So there will be some gross margin implications as we correct inventory in FY17.
Yeah, I think that's a very good point. The upside on that is our cash flow in 17 will be much stronger than it was in 16, and I would expect our cash flow available for debt reduction in 17 should be about $150 million.
So if I can summarize what gentleman has said is you expect actually gross margins actually to be to face some headwinds, but that would be made up via in terms of operating margins, in terms of the distribution optimization, trade optimization, and so if that in that case, I think in terms of on the operating margin, we should be looking at what you have achieved in FY16 as a reflection of FY17. Am I correct to reflect to come with this conclusion?
Yes.
Right. Okay. Thank you. Hi, sorry, Andy here again.
Go ahead.
In terms of the pref shares, The previous indication of the coupon rate, would it still be what we are looking at, or is there any changes to that, or if you can remind us what is the indicative kind of coupon rate that we could be looking at?
We are looking at 5.5% to 7%, and that's what we had indicated last time.
Right. Still remains the same.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah, that's what I have for now. Thank you. Sorry, Andy here again. I think it's probably just me asking the question. Can I talk a bit about Philippines to see reference to Sito's comments? I think one of the comments was actually the increasing competitive environment targeting Philippines. I think this is probably quite obvious given that, you know, the robust environment there. Would you be able to share in terms of what sort of competitive pressures you are witnessing, let's say, in terms of product launches or step up in the AMP by competitors, and if you could help us, articulate, how Del Monte actually is responding to this, and how you see it going.
It's actually a good question. No? First is on the ASEAN competitiveness. As you know, the tariff rates are now down, right? There's zero tariffs and the trade is flowing. So yep. We're very mindful of competitive threats from Thailand and Indonesia, particularly in the culinary area. Because as you know, they have very, very well-developed culinary companies there that can compete with us. Yep. So we're very mindful of that. And the way we have addressed that is twofold. Number one is making sure that our costs remain competitive so that we do not get careless in pricing. As you know, we're more biased towards growing volume than pricing in order to grow top line. No? And second is we continue to invest in advertising and promotions. Even though, as you can see, all of our categories are very, very high market shares, we do not milk any of them, and we continue to sustain them with a good dose of advertising and promotions. Priorities being the beverage category, which is growing, and which we believe will at least occupy 50% of our portfolio, both volume and profit in the coming years. And second, of course, is the culinary, which is highly profitable. As far as the pineapple business is concerned, we're not concerned. This year, we will have higher tonnage than last year. We are out of El Nino right now, but La Nina has stepped in. But we would rather manage that than El Nino. So we're very confident in delivering the 20% increase in tonnage this year for our processed pineapple business. Thailand is in a bit of a fix right now. What we know is their so-called summer harvest has been delayed because the fruits that were supposed to be harvested did not go to the right specifications, and really this is the impact of El Nino on the fields. Given that, and since 70% of the volume of Thailand comes from the summer season, the winter crop will not be able to recover much of the shortfall. So we believe that processed pineapple supply will continue to be very tight all the way to the middle of next year. The same situation holds for Indonesia. As you know, that's the other producer of processed pineapple in PT Great Giant. They too are having a tough time with the environment. So we'll see, and we remain vigilant with regards to competitive threats, but we think that the biggest threat would be from our neighboring countries.
Right.
I hope that answers your question.
Yes, thank you. Maybe just to have a follow-up question in terms of you're mentioning that the competitors, I mean, you know, from the neighbors in terms of culinary, where do you see them in terms of the channels? I would presume would be the modern trade channels and rather than the general trade. Am I right to assume that?
Actually, you're right, no? Because most of these people only ply the modern trade. They do not have the route to market with regards to the general trade. And as you know, the general trade covers 65% of the business in the Philippines. That,
right.
That is where we also have an advantage because we have our own sales force and we have a total of 18 distributors spread all over the island.
Sure. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, too.
I'll let others have a chat. Thank you. Thanks, Ito.
Thanks.
Hello, can I ask a question?
What's this?
Sure.
Yep, I'm Terrence from Pine Forest Capital. Anyway, can you just remind me, I noticed that in the fourth quarter, your inventory actually climbed up by 23 days. Is that because you lost some government bidding contracts?
That's correct.
That's correct. Yeah.
Inventory increased in Q4 in the U.S. because we had packed for and expected to receive some USDA bids from the U.S. government. We were outbid, and therefore we were unable to move that inventory, and we carried it this year.
Right. Typically, what's the size of these government contracts?
You want to go ahead?
It's 100 million. Yeah. The total USDA bid, depending on the year, can be as much as $100 million.
Right. Okay. That's
all. We carried in over 7 million cases of excess inventory, which obviously adds to our cash flow positive that we'll experience in 17. But
yep.
A lot of that was vegetable.
Okay. Thank you. That's all. That's all for me.
Are there any other questions? If not, we will end the call now. So thank you for joining us, and we'll be in touch with you very soon. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
The leader has disconnected. The conference will now end.